An important part of this is I think a lot of people think private medicine is kind of the devil, I guess, and it goes against it. But I think what happens is it starts to get, better healthcare for people, but it also starts to pull the public system in that direction too, which I don't think is a bad thing.
That is the voice of Dr. Brandon Reed. And Dr. Brandon Reed is a doctor I'm familiar with personally. I've worked with him for a few years, and we've taken things from being healthy and post-surgery and post sort of some treatment, some health stuff in being health conscious to optimized. And if you've never explored private medical, then I think this would be a great intro podcast to listen to and understand sort of the differences, or like why would someone pay that much for, X amount of treatment, or approaching your health from a different angle instead of approaching it when you need it. And so I'll leave it there. But Dr. Brandon Reed is on the show, and welcome to T-Pal Labs.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, I actually got this app, a Todoist.
Okay.
Have you heard of that?
No.
So I've been kind of trying to go through the videos and see how it works, but it's like a to-do list, but it's like a manager for a team as well. So it's been helping me out, but it's just, the videos are pretty good because it says you just gotta like focus on what you need to do. So if you're gonna do emails, you only do emails. You don't answer texts. You don't do
Right.
anything else. So just focus, focus, focus. So I'm trying to do that, but I'm all over the place with mild ADD, right? So.
Yeah. Do you find it helps if you block it out in your calendar, like actually like write emails, like from 7 to 8?
But it's hard when your wife's messaging you and then it breaks you off and then you're like, okay, I'll like thumbs up some Facebook thing. And then, it's ADD.
Yeah. Yeah,
How do
did
you
you
manage?
think? Oh man,
Like,
I've
what do
tried
you
all
do?
sorts of stuff, but the biggest thing I found helpful was like in 2007, Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek. And I just used that as like my Bible book. And he does what he calls batching, where he schedules. And so that's a lot of it. Like all my notifications are off. So, the thought of it, I don't follow it to the T, but it's like you check emails at 8 a.m. for half hour, and then I don't check emails again till 12. And so then it's kind of like
Smart.
you're not, I don't see the notifications. They don't pop up on my screen. I don't hear a sound. And then you go in there, and one of the biggest things that happened was this year is I went to Europe for a couple of weeks. So before the trip, we got my assistant to start categorizing my emails. So my emails would flow in also to her inbox. And so then she would put them in like a three-stage thing, like newsletters, you can read them next week, 48-hour deal with, and then like forest fires. And what we found after she did all that, and then I would just literally go into the forest fire one, is that I would have to deal with the forest fire email, the middle email she could deal with within a week. And then the last one, a lot of those newsletters, I just unsubscribe.
Well, you're not a micromanager, obviously, because a lot
No.
of people, like I'm not either. I'm just disorganized. Right? Like
Do you
my
resonate
assistant
with
does help.
tools? Like, do you like tools, or are those like another thing to think about? Like a day timer or like a.
Like I got like all this, like,
Yeah.
I like tools. But I find just staying focused, but that's coffee and Adderall for me, so
Yeah. I love it.
it helps.
I love it. I know that a lot of guys in the coaching program I was in last year, Strategic Coach, use, I have it. I have it right here. I'll show it to you. But it's for a lot of guys with sort of aggressive tendencies to not want to follow stuff. It's like it's a weekly planner. Looks like this.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know if you can if it'll
Yeah, I can see
focus,
it.
but and then it basically has like big, little, and then like some people you want to call during the week, and it does really help distill what's important. And I think that's, yeah.
Yeah, and I just see that, like, and I can see it where on Todoist in their videos, like, if you actually, like, if I'm focusing on work, but then I'm also answering text, it takes me out of the flow. They call
Yeah,
it
yeah.
flow, like you do. You just do emails. You don't answer anything. So you're in a flow where your efficiency is maximized. But if you flip over to other things, your flow, your efficiency goes down. I know it seems obvious, but like nobody does it, right?
It's hard.
So.
Yeah, I think what the root to that is, well, let's ask you, would be what do you fear by why do you put urgency on responding to the text? And what is the fear that if you don't respond to the text, what would happen?
I just think it's ADD and attention. So whatever kind of pops up, I'm like, okay, I'll just deal with that because,
Right.
it's not a fire. It like never is. I can
Yeah.
wait today, tomorrow, whatever, right? But I just kind of, I'm here, I'm there, but I get it done.
Yeah. Well, if you feel like you want to try something different, don't make it pop
Yeah, that I silence it and
up.
or I just put the phone over there or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So.
So we're talking private health. We're talking a lot of good things. You and I have experimented. We've come on similar journeys, health journeys. I wouldn't call you an ex-CrossFitter. I would call you currently has a membership, goes sometimes. And I would be a has a punch pass, goes sometimes too, but loved it. And I was excited to sort of set this up and visit with you to just riff on private health and what the avenues are for that. It seems like a big mysterious thing. It maybe seems expensive. It maybe seems out there for lots of people. And I want to get to another thing, which is which I don't want to ruin it, is your new release of something. So maybe open us up with sort of InvestMed and your private med clinic and sort of what it is. Again, I know that people can go online and you got tons of great stuff that I want to unpack. So I don't need a huge regurgitation. Again, people can look it up, but I do need to we need to set the tone of what we're going to visit about.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I would kind of just start with, a little bit of a background. Like what is the Health Canada Act? The Health Canada Act really doesn't allow anything private if you're offering the same same things as you do in the public system. Okay, so you're if it, I can't say I'm going to see you for a cough and a cold and charge you,
Right.
okay, because you can do that in the public system. So in the private system, you have to offer something that's not being offered in the public system. So I guess that's where we would kind of start. So my journey as a family doc for 15 years has been, up and down and taking care of people, but realizing that there's a lot of gaps in medicine. The big things I see is it's not proactive. And we don't leverage advanced technology and knowledge for people. So in the private system, like for investment, we offer like things like full body MRI and a lot of dye tests to look for blockages of arteries, basically looking for a lot of things that can kill you. And then a lot of our advanced blood work looks at more things that, optimize how you feel. And health span. So I think, an important part of this is I think a lot of people think private medicine is kind of the devil, I guess, and it goes against it. But I think what happens is it starts to get, better healthcare for people, but it also starts to pull the public system in that direction too, which I don't think is a bad thing. So I guess what I would say to that, and this might be news to a few people, but in Alberta, they're thinking about, they said this, the Alberta government is thinking about paying for like full body MRIs and scans. So if you go and get one, a 90-minute scan looking for everything from cancers, abnormal blood vessels, all that stuff, and it finds cancer, they will reimburse you.
It's interesting.
So That's my point, is it's kind of pulling the public system into the direction of 2025, not 2005.
What percentage of oh man, there's so many places I could go. Okay, I'll finish that thought. What percentage of people using private advice, I'll call it private wellness advice, is people with symptoms and people who are healthy but trying to be, as you call it, more optimized?
I would say it's a mix. I would probably say it's 50-50. We see a
Yeah.
lot of people who have no symptoms, who are just health conscious, right? And who are extremely smart in their area, and they do a lot of reading, like yourself, right? Like you've been on your health journey and you know a lot. And some people have had symptoms and that's forced them to kind of be health conscious. And some people are just doing a lot of reading and they're health conscious, or they've had family members, heart attack, cancer, that pulls them.
Right.
And it really, from 30 to 80 years old, I see that there's a certain point where like you're too young for things and maybe you're a little too old, but most of the bulk is right in that 30 to 80 years old range.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned the tech, and that would be for me as a, I would say I like proof. And I know that sometimes in the fitness world, it's in the supplement world, in it's hard to quantify things. Obviously, if you take creatine and you've never taken it and you're eating healthy and you're pumping weights all the time, you're going to see some muscle growth. But where the health thing can, I think in this day and age, it's so Instagram focused with take this, take this. And it's like if you follow the advice, we'll call it, there usually is a sale. Like very seldom do you see on Instagram a published study from a university that's like 15,000 people, and it's not selling something at the end. It's just purely altruistic advice. There usually is some, and the investment world is also, laden with stuff. But what I like about the private approach and the technology is that you can, a private MRI or a full body scan, you see right away. Like that is real. And a blood test, that is a good blood test, a full scope blood test. And so that I think is sort of at the cusp of, maybe the private sector will draw the public sector in. The public sector won't do the full blood run up. It's, too expensive or too it's probably I get it. I get it. So again, that side of things. Do you have a story of like, without giving away any names, obviously, or a situation where a person has seen results in an optimized way? So a healthy person and healthy outcomes, but they've done certain steps and it has, materially changed their situation for the better.
Oh, 100%. I can give you lots of different example. I recently had a gentleman. I think he went through our program at an investment about a year ago. He's about probably mid-50s. He didn't really want to do it, but his wife was doing it. You know how it is. The guy's like, I feel fine, so I am fine, right? But his wife was doing it and kind of dragged him into it. He didn't really want to do it, but he went along with it. And basically, we found a lot of stuff in his blood test, and we did his MRI. No cancers or anything, but he had a lot more visceral fat, so fat in the guts, which has actually been shown to be very bad. Fat on his liver. And what was nice about taking that plus his blood work, we were able to say objectively, like, this is you. This is not how you feel. These are facts. And by knowing that, we were kind of able to bring him through it. You got to do the exercise. You got to do it. You got to do, it gave him the whole program of what he needed to do. And I just followed up with him last week and he's lost, 32 pounds. He eats right. He's following up his test. He's got like now normal body fat, visceral body fat. His blood tests are looking great. He feels the best he's ever done. So he was a perfect example of, I didn't want to do this. I don't see any value in it. A year later, he's changed his life and he's never felt better in every avenue of his life.
What's the catal like, what's the catalyst? Because I know some of these people. What do you like? Is there a catalyst, or other than his wife, is there, like, how do you bottle that up and share that with someone to know that there's, something's worth it? Because you said it. Oh, I feel healthy, then I am healthy. And I do think that has a bit of like kind of quantum universal kind of like more woo-woo stuff to it. But like there's hard numbers in the blood, and there's hard stuff in the scans that's real.
Well, I think you first have to be a type of person that you have to, in some way, face your own mortality. Whether it's an incidence for you as the person or somebody close to you as a loved one, those are the biggest catalysts where people are like, oh crap, I need to do something because this could be me or it is me and I need to do something different. So I think those are probably the biggest catalysts, but I do find that people. Information is just everywhere out there, like Peter Attia and all, Huberman and all these wonderful docs are really pushing health and medicine. So I think it's got to be the biggest catalysts are those ones, but also information of like maybe I'll dabble into it and get some information, and they start to build that base.
Yeah. What would you say to me? This is maybe too much information for the podcast, but whatever. What would you say to me where you do a gut test, you get some certain results, you change your diet, and you take the probiotics, you take all the vitamins, you're like hyper focused. My personality is very, I would say, literal. When someone says you do this, it's like, I will see that through, and I will focus, and to the nth degree, but so obsessed about it that, if something isn't working, then you're almost hard on yourself with the process. And I start getting in my head of saying, like, am I going to take omega-3s for the rest of my life? Am I going to take these vitamin B12s for the rest of my life? And am I going to spend 130 a month on AG1 for the rest of my life, and you start kind of going like, well, where's the balance? Where is the balance between, like, frick, I eat healthy and then I want to get healthier, but then it being so much work. I don't know if that all sort of got mashed up into a question.
No, I understand. Like, I did a presentation and it was this really simple triangle. And at the bottom is diet, exercise, sleep, like what we all know, but we don't really do, right? The foundation of health is those things. So I think if you just have those, you're going to be way better off, right? Like, if you look at, bang for buck, exercise is the best for reducing cancer, diabetes, heart attack. That pound for pound is the best. Even if you eat like crap, exercise is still twice as good as diet. But if you start compounding them, you can reduce your risk of death by 50% if you just do that foundation. So you've got the foundation. I hope a lot of people do, but and then you start to move up, and then you move up to like what are like supplements. So like if you miss some supplements or you forgot your omega-3s and you left them at home while you're in Europe, who cares? Okay? But you got to keep up with overall good diet and exercise. So and then you move up and then you're getting into advanced medicine scans, and then at the top is what I would call medication.
Yeah. And I would say you do a good job of sort of like bridging the gap between medication, traditional, and sort of the full right wing of health and nutrition and medicine that all pharma's bad and all that stuff. It's like, okay, fine. Well, maybe we'll put that in the parking lot. But like, that marriage of like, you're going to eat this, it's going to
Yes.
help with your blood. And if you're doing exercise, you're doing the diet, you're, taking this natural stuff, and we still can't move the needle on something catastrophic,
Right.
then here's
Yes.
maybe something.
Yes. It's the problem is people, and medicine has kind of done this to itself, is people want an easy fix. If
Yeah.
you have high blood pressure, and high blood pressure is documented five separate times on five separate occasions above 140 over 90. But if we have that document and say, you have high blood pressure, it's so much easier to go, here's a pill every day and you're fixed.
Right.
Rather than, okay, you've got to exercise 2.5 hours a week, 2/3 of it needs to be weights and 1/3 of it cardio. Your diet needs to be like this, and your sleep needs to be like, it's hard to do that. It's easy to take a pill.
Yeah. And I think that like your foundation, the triangle, that's a good example of like the further you go up the triangle, well, other than the tip, if you're into medications, but it's like in the middle, you're moving, whoa, look at that zoomed in. You're moving the needle smaller and smaller each time.
Yes, correct.
You go whole 30 diet and you're on like a shitty diet. Well, all of a sudden you're going to drop some weight, probably fast. You're going to work out.
100%.
So staying with it in the middle, I think is where it's at. And I ran into somebody the other day and they had the Apple Watch on. They had he's going to laugh if he listens to this, but yet another thing, I can't remember what it was. But it measured like so many different things. And he brought up his phone. He's like, this is what I'm measuring. I got the scale with the handles, and it like sends an electric current through my body, and I'm measuring this. And, I just want longevity. And, I was kind of chuckling because I'm in a place in my journey right now where I'm like, I want to get back to the bare bones of
Yes.
doing stuff. And I don't need an Oura ring. It's like, if I wake up, I'm like, fuck, I slept like shit. It's like, I don't need to look at the number and see a 31. It's just like, I slept like crap. I know I am. And I'm going to try and sleep better by taking these things. So, where again
Exactly.
is the balance of the amount of data that we're analyzing and what a person should do with that data? Because I think it's very cool to like show someone your data, show your oxygen saturation. But if you're not like, what level, what is someone needing if they're at that level where they're like capturing the data and like, how do they, what do they do to harvest it or make it better?
But I think it's like you got to step back because not to throw your friend under the bus, but like, is your friend focusing on all these things? Like, you should be like, I have worked out, I've exercised this many hours this week. Did I check? It's not sexy, to be
Yeah.
like, okay, I'm at 3 hours this week, so I'm good. What's my diet like? Okay, less refined processed carbs and sugars, and where are my proteins and my fat? Like, that should be our focus.
Yeah.
Not my heart rate was 136 on this exercise. Like we can get so on the minutia, we're lost in the weeds where I feel like we kind of have to start to go back to basics because we're going way too deep. People are doing like continuous glucose monitoring, but they have no idea how much protein they should have in a day based on their body weight and exercise. You're like, well, like, do you know what I mean? Like they got the little button
Yeah.
there and they're looking at that all day and they're like, oh, I'm a little bit
Yeah.
hot. And I'm like, but you didn't exercise for 3 days. Like, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? So.
Yeah. My wife and I tried it about a month ago. We both did it for 10 days, Dexcom 7 or whatever it is, and got the app. Eat stuff, see it spike. Honey and rice, white rice for me were the bad ones. My wife has peanut butter and jam on her toast, and jam was a spiker, which it's like, we already knew that. We know that those are like concentrated sugar sources. So, the thing that I also know but forgot is that with a little bit of activity after the meal, like literally, a friend of mine said the other day, oh, yeah, I did that too. And so, what I do now is when I go out for lunch, I park like 10-minute walk away. For
Oh,
one, it
nice.
gets me to the meeting 10 minutes, I'm early. And two, I get a walk. And then after the meal,
I have to walk the 10
Right.
minutes back.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's actually very simple. But how many lunch meetings do I go to? Like weekly to like different stuff.
100%.
And so that definitely brought it down. But it's exactly like what we're talking about. You have the data, you see it spike, but really you're like, okay, but that's just one marker. And so should I not eat sugar? Or, because if it, as maybe you explained to me, as your understanding of glucose is it spikes because you ate something, then your body has insulin, is this what happens, to like bring it back down. So it's the worst is it spikes and then it stays high and kind of tapers. But if it like kind of gets under control quick, that's okay, right?
Correct. Yeah, because you're starting to, if it's staying high, you've got insulin resistance. So the power of the insulin is going down. Like for you, if you get an insulin fasting, for me, it's actually pretty low in the 20s, 30s, and 40s for me, is that my pancreas doesn't have to pump out much insulin and it works really effectively in crashing that sugar. And with you too, right? So, you don't want sugars high because that means you've got a bad pancreas, your insulin's crap. You got some work to do.
Yeah, I think,
Exercise.
yeah, and that sort of negates it. So then the other piece is eating foods that, like, I can't remember. I think the index average of the 10 days was like 5.8 or something. But then there was spikes as high as like 10 and 11. I can't remember the exact meals, but it's like the more it spikes, like higher, that's you want to stay away from those foods.
That's right. And that's why it's like, do this. I'm sure everybody's done this, and I'm sure you did it in Europe. You get a nice big bowl of pasta, right? And like you eat it, and your sugars go, because pasta is extremely dense sugar, right? So you skyrocket up like this, like super high, and then your insulin goes to work and then drops it as quick as we can, and you feel like super tired. Because you just went from like a lot of energy, now it's down crashing because your insulin's working. So you get that postprandial, like after eating, fatigue, right? So, you can test that. We do that all the time. Pizza, whatever. Pick your dense carb.
Well, I think you CrossFit, so you know that this is like the journey of someone. You want to get better at CrossFit, so you ask around the gym, what do you like? You ask some of the better athletes, like, what do you do? It's like, oh man, you need carbs, you need like lots, and you need like it's like, okay. And so you're like, but good carbs. And so you like hammer the white rice, you hammer the like oatmeal. I'm not a big bread, but like you hammer the carbs and oatmeal every day because you're like, I don't want to have to think about maximizing my energy. So you're taking protein powder, oatmeal, rice at lunch, and chicken, and like every day. So then you don't really, you're optimized for the workouts. Then you start going into, well, I'm going to take a look at my blood. And you're like, fuck, my triglycerides are like through the roof. And like, I got to get that. So you try and work that. Then you do your gut analysis and you're like, oh man, I got to cut out the rice. I can't eat the same thing every day. I need to vary it. And so now you're like, oh, and your CrossFit workouts go down. Because your energy levels are different. So it's just, I just share all that as like it's messy. It's messy. And so get me back on track in the overall picture of, CrossFit workouts are extremely fun. And when you're in flow at the workout, that to me is presence and that to me is life. Then you get skewed when you start reading longevity books that, oh, I want to live till I'm 156 and I want to play with my great grandkids when I'm 90. And so then you get pulled in all these directions. So what do you do in your own program for like steering your ship?
Well, I used to, and I'm sure you were the same too, is I used to do CrossFit 6 days a week, right at home or at the box. And I think I injured myself a little bit there too, but I was just trying to kind of, the more I did, the better I'll be. Which isn't true, right? So now I kind of like pull it back and listen to my body. Like, I don't think I've worked out in a couple of days, but when I do, like, I listen to my body, right? And I think that's what you really need to do. But I think you kind of need to be more active, 4 or 5 days a week, but take those rest days. But also, some days are, 20 minutes. I'm like, that's all the time I have, or that's all I can give. And some days are an hour and a half. I'm sure, I think that comes at, I think, wisdom and knowing your body, but it's hard out there because there's programs that says you got to be like this, and you look at the guy who's doing it and you're like, first of all, I'm not 25. Second of all, I think he's juicing it, right? Like, you're like, and you're like, but I can do that. So I think it's really hard with the media out there, thinking that, you can be like that and do all that. But I just think you have to start your journey to meet the minimum standards, right?
Can you give us a little of what you know on peptides? And this isn't a recommendation to use them or not, but they're talked about a lot. They're kind of in, I'll say in trend, but touted as advanced pieces of science. But are they? Like, but I hope you can kind of like help us understand what are peptides and where do they fall in sort of like what the ramifications of them are and why the government's sort of like cracking down on stuff.
Well, I guess you gotta have to look at peptides are like amino acids, right? And our body kind of has very similar properties, whether it's like semaglutide or tirzepatide. So those are the ones like Ozempic and Mounjaro that help us lose weight, right? So those are considered peptides.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Glucagon-like peptides, GLPs. So those are peptides too. Right. So there's a lot of categories of peptides. So there's also, the ones you're probably referring to is the BPC 157 and TB 500 and those guys, right? But basically, they all kind of serve, they're just a chemical that serves a function. Right. And we have very similar chemicals in our body. So to be like BPC, like let's just use that as an example. Like, I love the name body protection compound, right? Like,
Is
what
that what it
kind of
stands
nerd?
for?
Yes. Like, wow. I don't blame somebody. Somebody's like, wow, they found it in the guts, right? Because it's actually a good healing property. And they're like, oh, this is a good healing. So let's call it body protection compound. So BPC, that's where it came from. So it's a perfect example of a healing substance. It's just a compound that our body has. If you injure yourself, you stub your toe and it's swollen, your body is creating this kind of stuff. So it can heal the stubbed toe. But what now is wonderful about science and medicine is they kind of said, this is the chemical, let's just make it. And now you can inject it in your body to basically just give yourself a boost of healing.
So is it the same amino acids that are in protein powder?
Well, amino acids are not all the same, right? So, I think there's like 21, I forget, amino acids. And depending how you put them together, like Lego blocks, you can make different things, okay? So, because protein is just amino acids, but they're put together in certain ways. So are peptides, right? So that you're getting into the kind of organic chemistry components of that.
Which again, this is, maybe at the top of the pyramid of optimization, but I think you're talking, there's big claims out there on, the Joe Rogan show and Huberman and all this stuff you're talking about that they work or they don't, but there's it's like everything. You see, you read it, and you're like, "Oh, it's not fact." Like in this day and age, nothing you kind of read is, you got to kind of interpret it and understand what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's funny because about 2 years ago I came across peptides, and I had and actually, that's just what I love about, people and relationships is they said, "Have you heard about these peptides?" I'm like, "No." And he's like, "Blah blah blah," and I start researching. I'm like, "Whoa, this stuff's good." And then I did it on myself. I've done three peptide injections. of BPC 157 combined with TB500. Because I'm like, well, you know me, and I think you're kind of the same. You experiment a little bit. And I did my research and I felt it was safe. I got a good supplier. And then I'm like, you know, I have really bad tendon, triceps tendonitis in my left elbow. And I couldn't bang out even 15 or 20 push-ups without feeling like a knife was in there. Did everything for a year. And then I slammed a big shot in there, and literally within about a week to 2 weeks, 95% of my pain and inflammation was gone. And it's probably about 95 to 98% now, 6 months, 8 months after my injection. So that's
That's
like, I can say I did the peptides. I'm not going to any Olympics or anything because I said they're banned. I'm not doing anything, so I can say I did them. But yeah, it is quote research purposes only, but I did a deep dive and I don't see any negative consequences of them. But I do think that like you shouldn't be doing them. You know, I think there's some guys in the States who are literally like injecting themselves big doses like weekly, like athletes.
Well, I'm sure this is how steroids back in like the 60s and 70s came.
Yes.
It was like, hey, a little bit of therapy. And the guys are like, what happens if I do 20 cc's at once?
Bro science. That's what they
It's
call
like,
it. It's
how
called
are you
bro
so big? Oh, I'm up to
science.
20
Oh, what are you
cc's.
doing? I'm going to do that. Bro science, locker room science.
So, shift gears a bit and fill us in on what your latest sort of offering. It's completely new, it's different, it's unique. Kind of along the same lines of private wellness, and for people who want to take things into their own hands, what are you up to?
Yeah, so my new business is cancerbloodtest.ca. So I was fortunate enough to get a seat at the table to get this product, which is called multi-cancer early detection. In the medical community, it's called that. In the States, it's called liquid biopsy. So basically, you get a blood test that can now detect if you have one of 59 different types of cancer. Which is 74% of the cancers that kill us can be detected within this blood test. So I have access to that. And basically, this is the future of cancer screening. You know, this will eliminate, I believe, mammograms, Pap smears or HPV testing, PSA testing. It eliminate all of it. Plus, it looks for cancers that are not traditionally screened, right? So 80% of cancers are not screened in the current medical system. Screening meaning you are asymptomatic, you feel fine, but you get screened for cancers. That's what a screening is. So yeah, so I'm fortunate to have this where we just started a wait list, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and it's blown up, and I'm scrambling to manage the team to get back to people about this test.
Well, that would be huge. I think it falls along the same lines of like what do you think when I say the term choose to age? Like, is that where like choosing if you want to age or not? Are we in our lifetime, mid-40s, going to see that level of science
Yes.
in our, yeah.
Yes. No. So I'll put it in a different way. I saw this little study. They developed a medication. A team of doctors, PhDs at a pharmaceutical company developed over 1 year a new medication. They were given a problem. They developed a medication over 1 year. They gave the same problem to AI. And in 48 hours of running, it did the exact same thing as a team did in 1 year.
That's
So when
happening
you're dealing
everywhere.
with it, like AI is, well, it depends what you believe. AI might have to take over the world. But anyways, if you can do what a team of smart, working hard people, like, you know, in a year, you know, in 2 days, like, well, what's going to happen in 3 years? It's going to do it in a day. It's what's going to do it in an hour. So if you can just keep that knowledge going, you know, I think they'll be able to stop or age or reverse it.
Well, I do think there's almost like a place for it. Like, well, I guess you're already kind of like this, like a financial advisor, but like a health advisor. It's like where you go to
better your wellness, call it, and to talk to someone like you, and it becomes like a regular, you know, when people's regular can mean different cadences, but you know, the more serious you want to take it, or if you got an issue to deal with, maybe you ramp it up and it costs a little more that year. Then it goes into more maintenance mode,
Correct.
and that's very similar to how we would charge, you know, for deep planning fees. What do you have for viewers or listeners to close off with that would be sort of the next set of resources? Someone's interest has got piqued with us visiting, and you're like, hey, if nothing else, and you want to learn about private med or, you know, some of these tests you're doing, go to this. It could be your sites, it could be other resources, but where would you suggest someone continue the journey?
Well, if so, we're at InvestMed, so invest-med.ca. So I'm a co-founder there, as well as cancerbloodtest.ca is the new test there. But honestly, I think if you have a lot of questions about peptides, and I'm using it a lot more, I like AI, and I'm using Super Grok to just crunch through a lot of information. So I think that, like, if we're talking peptides and
Yeah.
multi-cancer early detection as a resource, I love AI.
Just a side tangent before we close off, because this has come up twice this week. Grok. So I use Grok, just the free version. I use ChatGPT Pro, the 200 US a month version. But I'm considering moving over to Grok Pro and letting go of the ChatGPT Pro. What was your draw to Grok, or what was sort of that decision point, or was it just the one you were on and you just ponied up the subscription?
Well, I think a big thing for me is I think Elon Musk is the Leonardo da Vinci of our time, right? So let's just, you know, and that's Grok is his.
Right.
And I kind of align with his values.
Yeah.
But I also think that he's just making it, you know, much more available and free forever, like the basic, while I feel like, you know, the other competitors are starting to monetize even basic stuff. Is
Right.
one. And the other thing is, I think, you know, Grok believes in, you know, safety nets around AI, you know, that it doesn't have free rein on everything while some of the other competitors are going to push it to the max. So I also believe in that. So yeah, that's what I
Yeah.
think.
Well, thanks. Thank you for inspiring me to look into that further. Brandon, thanks a lot for coming on the show
Yeah,
today. And
anytime.
if there's anything else, listener, you need, look us up. Brandon, what is your handle on LinkedIn and maybe
It's
on Instagram?
cancer blood test and InvestMed.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks.